Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a new report on how many Americans did not vote in the last election, which, for all that was at stake, attracted fewer voters than the 2004 competition between John Kerry and George W. Bush. Aura Bogado, a writer for The Nation, joins us to discuss her article at The Nation, Figuring Out Why 93 Million People Didn't Vote. Then we will speak with Thomas Ferguson, a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and author of an article at alternet.org, Revealed, Why the Pundits Are Wrong About Big Money and the 2012 Elections. We will discuss his article and the extent to which big money is behind the Republican House members who humiliated their speaker in refusing to raise taxes on the wealthy, who they apparently so faithfully serve. Then finally, on Christmas Eve, we will speak with the Reverend Billy, an anti-corporatist activist who takes on the role of a revivalist minister. He led a demonstration in Times Square on Friday against rampant consumerism and Christmas shopping on the day that, according to the Mayan calendar, the world was supposed to end. We will discuss the shopture the Reverend staged in Times Square. And joining us now is Aura Bogado, who is a writer for The Nation, who has focused on voting rights this election season. She's a former anchor for Pacifica Radio, and her reporting in Spanish and English has also appeared in Mother Jones, Newsweek Argentina, Alternet, and The Huffington Post. And she has an article at The Nation, Figuring Out Why 93 Million People Didn't Vote. Welcome to Background Briefing, Aura Bogado.
Good morning, Ian.
And Aura, I was stunned to learn that the last election, which seemed to be such a nail biter for so many people that I knew, people were really incredibly anxious. Some people couldn't even watch the results. They were so afraid that Romney and the plutocrats might have won and bought the election and then stacked the Supreme Court with Robert Bork choosing the nominees. And yet, in spite of all of that angst and all of the $6 billion that was spent, apparently fewer people voted in this last election than did in the 2004 election between John Kerry and George W. Bush.
That's right. And it's actually the first time that we've seen a drop in voter participation since 1996. And the article that I wrote about is actually based on a survey that questioned both voters and non-voters. And there's some very interesting overlap that's worth paying attention to. 66% of voters and 62% of non-voters all feel that the economy and financial issues are the biggest hurdle facing the nation. Yet some people felt compelled to vote as a result, and others simply did not want to.
So the figures basically are 126 million people voted, but 93 million people did not.
Correct.
And then out of the 93 million that didn't, I find in your article at The Nation, Figuring Out Why 93 Million People Didn't Vote, Aura Bogado, fascinating in as much as, well, let's talk about the biggest group that you identify that didn't vote, and they're called the pessimists.
Right. And, you know, we tend to think of non-voters as young people, particularly poor, less educated young people. And that holds true because a lot of non-voters fit that profile. However, this survey is very useful because it illustrates that there are some groups that are similarly disaffected, but they're clustered into categories that have nothing to do with their youth or their education or their poverty. So the pessimists, they're less educated men who are retired or towards the end of their careers, are middle-aged and up, and they lean conservative, they like small government, they very much dislike President Obama. They're named pessimists because of their outlook on the future of the economy. And yeah, at 27%, they make up the single biggest group of non-voters. So it's not exactly who we think of, you know, the sort of small government, anti-Obama type a voter or non-voter, rather, who doesn't get out and isn't motivated by the candidates or isn't motivated by the campaign enough to actually go and cast a ballot.
But doesn't this fly in the face of everything that we were told about the election, that the Republicans were the ones that were fired up and that it was the Democrats who were pessimistic and indolent and disappointed, and the progressives were angry at Obama who'd failed them, etc., and they weren't going to show up and they were in a surly mood, but the Tea Party and the Republicans were just chafing at the bit to vote?
Right, and I think that this is something that's been sort of missing from the narrative, is that there are a lot of people that are conservatives. There are a lot of people who are very strong religious Southerners who do not vote, for example, because of religious reasons, the active faithfuls, as they're called. They're middle-class, black and white churchgoers. They're from the South. They identify as independents. They identify as moderates. They're very well educated. And they actually make up 11% of the non-voters. And they essentially don't vote because of religious reasons. They don't believe that either candidate or either party represents their religious values. These are people that are actively engaged in their community, do charity work, care about the future of the nation, but don't see it reflected in the candidates. Again, these are independents and moderates. The other group that we just talked about are conservatives, and these are people that are also not being motivated to vote.
So obviously they weren't attracted to Rick Santorum, and I don't know the extent to which they were turned off by having a Mormon run. But are you suggesting that if there were a more moderate, centrist, religious figure, that they would vote for them?
It's quite possible. In terms of encouraging people to vote, voters and non-voters alike, this is where we see a lot of overlap, is people just want cleaner government. They want better candidates. It's more true for the non-voters. People also want the ability to vote online, so essentially they're asking to make voting easier. There is this notion that voting is an arduous project, and I'm sure that you can ask those people that stood in line for 8 hours in Florida whether it was, and I'm sure that they will affirm that it was. But I think that in general we are seeing, again, voters and non-voters in particular alike, saying these candidates, these parties just don't reflect my values. And those values do stand all over the political map. You have the conservatives, the small government types, the religious independents. You also have people that, for logistical reasons, they're sick, they had an emergency, they don't have transportation, et cetera. They're not able to vote. But far and wide, a lot of people just want better candidates.
Again, I'm speaking with Aura Bogado, who's a writer for The Nation, who has focused on voting rights this election season. She's a former anchor for Pacifica Radio, and her reporting in Spanish and English has also appeared in Mother Jones, Newsweek Argentina, Altnet, and The Huffington Post. And she has an article at The Nation figuring out why 93 million people didn't vote. Now, let's turn to the final category that you have here of the non-voters that you've broken down, Aura. And this I find pretty surprising, too, because, again, we were told about the Latino sleeping giant that was going to emerge and make all the difference. All the pundits said that Romney and the Republicans had blown it with the Latinos. Meanwhile, Obama was going to reap the bonanza of a whole new crop of Latino voters. I remember speaking with the young actress America Ferrera, who was campaigning to get to register voters. And so I got a real sense that the sleeping giant was awakening, but perhaps that's not true.
I think that it may largely remain true. We've all had access to the same data. The Republicans knew that there were 50,000 Latinos that were turning 18 every month and that there was a huge drive to register them. They made that conscious decision to sort of ignore that block and go, probably for the last time in history, go for that white conservative bloc. But as you mentioned, there is this group of voters called the Doers. These are young Latino men. They identify as being deeply engaged in politics. And they basically didn't vote because of logistical reasons. Some kind of logistical reason kept them from doing so. They're Obama supporters. They're Democrats. They're well-educated. But they did make up the sizable amount of 8% of non-voters are these sort of young Latino men. And logistical reasons certainly do keep people from voting, but it shouldn't be as high as 8% of the entire non-voting bloc. So that is something that Democrats, as well as Republicans, are really going to have to look at. Aside from those categories, the survey on which I base my article does also talk about three other categories, which are tuned outs, which are young women with very little interest in politics. They make up 16% of the non-voters, for example. A lot of them will say, well, I don't really know about the candidates, and so I'm making a conscious decision not to vote because I don't want to vote the wrong way. There's the strugglers, and these are females who are not registered to vote. They also very much like President Obama. They're also very worried about the economy. That's where they overlap with voters in general, and where they overlap with the small government, white, male, conservative voters. And you also have the too busies, and those are women of all ages who didn't vote, again, for logistical reasons. They were ill, they were working, they didn't have access to transportation. They make up a really big block as well.
But just to focus in on the 8% of the 93 million who didn't vote in this last election, Aura Bogarda, the young Latino males, what logistical reasons are we talking about? I recall that the actor Samuel Jackson did a video that went viral, sitting on a couch, basically saying, wake the F up. To basically challenging young voters to get out there and vote, and you know, what's your problem? So again, I'm asking the Samuel Jackson question: what's their problem? If they support Obama, but they didn't vote,
right? Yeah, and it's a very good question. I think that it's something that both parties are really going to have to try and figure out. This is an unlikely bloc because they do consume a lot of media. They watch TV. They spend time on social media sites. A lot of them have had engagement in local politics at some level. But for some logistical reason, they weren't able to make it out to the poll. And the survey is not very, very clear as to what specifically those reasons are, and I don't have the raw data for it.
But are you talking about impediments? Because we know there was a lot of voter suppression going on. We know that that the last count came in Arizona because, hundreds of thousands of people were denied the vote, and they were mostly Latinos.
Yes, and Arizona is actually a complicated case always. There's also a huge Native American voting bloc, and this is probably a part of the survey that may actually, and I allude to it at the end, may sort of be missing from the survey. The survey was conducted purely online. A lot of people in rural regions and in Indian country in particular don't have access to internet, and so that could, likely is a big reason why we're not seeing those numbers sort of reflected in this. I don't know that it was voter suppression per se. However, registration is a huge issue. Not being registered or having problems doing so makes up 29% of the reason why people didn't vote. 29% alone. California voters will soon be able to finally do same-day registration, but this is rare, and this is something that every state should really consider if it wants to enlist more voters. Logistical reasons. It's big at 8%, and it may have to do with transportation. It may have to do with not sort of planning that Tuesday right in terms of, having other obligations on that day. Certainly a lot of people were able to sort of figure out that Tuesday, but for whatever reason, they did not.
Well, Aura Bogarda, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Aura Bogarda, who's a writer for The Nation, and she's focused on voting rights this election season. She's a former anchor for Pacifica Radio, and her reporting in Spanish and English has also appeared in Mother Jones, Newsweek, Argentina, Alternet, and The Huffington Post. And she has an article at The Nation figuring out why 93 million people didn't vote. We're going to take a brief station break, and we're back talking about how the pundits were wrong about big money in the last election.